Welcome, guys. It's the second episode of Rock Talk Podcast. This week, we're joined by Joel Floyd West. He is the frontman and lead singer for Hidden Scars and Children of the Corn. I'd say Hidden Scars is fucking pretty good industrial metal. And anything else you have to add about that?
This here is my brother, Jameson. He's my only bandmate right now. Yeah, Hidden Scars is a new thing, man. It's pretty new. Our first show was 2018 in August of 2018, so it's still a pretty new project. So it kind of sucks that this whole dismantling of the music industry had to happen so early along in the foundation of the band, you know what I mean? But it's given me a chance to dial in and just chill in the recording studio here and, you know, get my songs done, written and recorded.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's an exaggeration if I could say I've been to pretty much almost all of the Hidden Scars shows that you guys have put on.
Dude, yeah, I think so. How many times you saw us at the House of Blues both times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there for the first show and the 1 year anniversary.
Definitely. Yeah, hell yeah. That's awesome, bro. Hell yeah. Man, I miss those days.
Yeah, you guys tore up the fucking stage. And you, like, you commanded the crowd so well.
Thanks, like, bro.
Your voice is just powerful. And you just had complete control out of everyone to where they were just trapped inside of your stage presence and the theatrics that you brought to the stage.
Dude, yeah, man, I miss those days so much. That 1 year anniversary show, we had two mosh pits going the whole set. It was fucking beautiful, man. The energy, you know, yeah. Just the energy you get from that amount of people just hurling energy at the stage, you know, it's like taking it all in. Just one person taking in the energy of 1,000 people is like feeling like no other, man.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Dude. And if I'm correct, you're now in Montana. You're no longer Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. Montana is where I was born and raised and everything. So once the COVID hit, decided it would be a good idea to kind of get away from the populace and, you know, kind of seclude myself. And I built a recording studio from scratch. You know, that took me a couple months just to get it all up and running. And then I was able to actually start recording and mixing, and then you know, I really just had to put hours and hours and hours every day into getting just getting my production skills up to par, because I was, man, you know, the live stage, the live music stage, that was my element, you know, that was my home, you know, that was like my religion, man. So like having to adapt to the curve and you know, do everything just in the recording studio was a huge change for me, you know what I mean? But yeah. Doing good with it now, man. I'm really enjoying it, man. I'm really excited. I just dropped a song a couple days ago, you know, so.
Oh, yeah, Degenerate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, the newly re-recorded version. Very well put together. It was very reminiscent to the original release. And like I said, that was a song that got me to come check out the first show.
Nice.
Of you guys. I heard that on, I found it on YouTube, and I was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then we started talking on Facebook.
Yeah, that was the first song Hidden Scars ever technically released, other than the first demo CD I put out that I started just distributing by hand in Las Vegas. I printed 1,000 copies of this 4-song demo that I did on my laptop, you know, from my apartment at the time, and handed it out all over Vegas. And those songs are hard to find now, you know.
Yeah. In fact, I can imagine.
Do you happen to have a copy of one of those old demo CDs by any chance?
No, I never had my hands on one of those. The only thing I got was the USB stick that shot down to me in Jen.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the EP, the debut EP, after the demo. But the demo, I think I still have those old songs and those old recordings laying around somewhere, but I kind of abandoned them, you know what I mean? Just 'cause I'm moving on, doing bigger, better things, you know?
Yeah. And to my knowledge, that I know of, the past year or so, you've been doing all self-produced, self-recorded music.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been tucked away in my studio here, just pretty much doing it all myself. I've had some collaborations here and there. I got a couple musicians who come up in my studio here and there every once in a while and help me write and record and lay down bass and guitar tracks and whatnot. So, I'm really fortunate to be working with some top level musicians around the area. They're hard to find around here, you know, around Montana, but they're there, you know, somewhere in the woodworks, you know, you can find them. And I'm lucky to have met a couple really, really top-notch musicians. It's just a matter of, like, when and how do we buckle down and start considering what it's going to take to, start doing some live performances, you know? Is now the right time? And or if not, when will be the right time? You know, it's kind of tough right now, so.
Yeah, totally. So going off of that, with the whole pandemic going on, how have you been coping with it and coming out on top with making your music and just the entire year basically of seclusion?
Yeah, well, you know, honestly, man, it's really interesting the way this went down, because I've always been, you know, my preference has always been the live music, playing live on stage. And I've kind of had a habit of getting on stage kind of prematurely, I guess, focusing all my energy and attention on playing live and performing live, as opposed to really, really refining my craft in the studio as far as what I'm going to release and what I'm going to put out to the public, and also like the proper ways to go about marketing that material. So now it's kind of like this pandemic has kind of forced me to do something that I should have been focused on, that was always hard for me to focus on, because, you know, the fun part is being on stage, man. That's, you know, that's why we do it, you know. Oh, yeah. Now I'm like focusing on the work side of everything, and it's cool, man. My creative juices are flowing more than ever before in my life, you know, and I'm learning a thing or two about getting the music heard in this new, you know, world of viral marketing and algorithms and, you know, analytics and just, you know, reaching the right people at the right times through the right channels without spending an arm and a leg or getting ripped off by some company that uses artificial intelligence to create fake profiles to make it look like you're getting heard when you're really not. And there's a lot of that out there, you know, and kind of learning how to differentiate, you know, one from the other. So it's been a journey, man.
Nice. So one thing that I've always had a question about, but I never took the time to ask you, and I'm kind of glad now because now I have a platform to do it on. Yeah. Hidden Scars, where did that name come from for you?
It has a lot to do with my past events leading up to the present moment. The moment that I started the band, going through toxic relationships and drug addictions of like every kind you could probably possibly think of, and just traveling around the country, living from state to state, city to city, just kind of like wandering the abyss, you know, trying to find myself, you know, or find some kind of purpose, some kind of meaning out there, and coming across a lot of obstacles along the way, being homeless for a couple years, living on the streets of Seattle and Las Vegas for a while, as well as, you know, that kind of stuff, it creates a lot of internal scars that you gotta let go of in some way or another. And sometimes that can be a very destructive path, you know, when you have all this all this guilt, all this shame and regret and all this pent up shit that you're, you know, trying to get off your chest. And sometimes, you know, it can be very destructive, but I feel like I've found a positive and, you know, creative way to express all that through my music. And, you know, I've used a lot of needles and I've mutilated myself, you know, in different ways like that, you know, just, been to jail a couple times, been in and out of the ER a couple times, you know, things like that. So the hidden scars are all the things that, most people don't want to talk about. That's why they're hidden, you know? So my message is to kind of encourage people to just let it all out. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, who you are or what you've done or, you know, what you talk about, you know, as long as it's real, you know, so it's raw, it's real, it's true. You know what I mean? That's really all that matters to me right now.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
That totally can cause good. Some problems, bro. It really can cause some problems. Most people can't handle the truth, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely did a good job of translating all of that onto the stage and through the music. Like that first album that you had, it was pretty, pretty fucking tits, man. It's just one of those things, you sit there and you just felt the intensity of it throughout the entire album going through. And you just sat there looking for a break. And every now and again, you guys would have just a little break in the song. You'd sit there and go, and then it just pick right back up again. And it's such a great way of just like toying with your heart rate.
Right on. Hell yeah, dude. Give you a little chance to breathe and then back to it again.
Yeah, and like I said, especially when you guys were live, the way you had the latex on your body to be like ripping off your skin.
Oh, man. Dude, I heard through word of mouth from someone out in the audience that someone next to them, this lady who was attending the show, was somehow fully convinced that I was actually peeling off my real skin on stage.
Oh, man.
I was like, okay. I don't know how your mind works to think that that's really happening and that anyone who's human would have that kind of pain threshold, but the fact that I was able to convince one gullible person in that audience that that was real is a huge success on my part, man. I was very, very proud when I heard that.
it was very well applied. It was well done how it was applied because it was thin enough to where it was just looked like it was just your skin.
Yeah.
And where when you did start peeling it off, you were just sitting there, it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
Damn, that's like visceral.
Well, sometimes I'd walk on stage and, you know, like depending on the show, how thick I decided to lay it on that night, sometimes I'd walk up looking like a burn victim, you know? And I got that before. Like I'd be all makeup upped, whatever, and have like a hoodie on and be setting up, you know what I mean? And every once in a while, someone would catch a glimpse of my face, you know, and I would get this awkward vibe, you know what I mean? Because I think they literally thought I was a burn victim, you know what I mean? Like a burn victim roadie, you know? But yeah, it did. It looked like my flesh was melting off, you know?
Yeah. One of the most hilarious experiences I had during one of the shows when you were doing that is I think it was at the Whiskey U Go Go, where you ripped off some of your skin, just tossed it, and it whacked me right in the face.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, dude.
Yeah, dude. It was so funny.
The slap, just all sweaty and fake blood. How did that taste, buddy?
Oh, God.
But yeah, is that delicious?
That definitely adds into it too when you throw it into the crowd, because it does command a visceral reaction from the crowd when it's sitting there and you're just going like it's flying right at them. You're just like, fuck.
Yeah. I always have a good way of making things awkward for people by presenting like you said, the visceral, unsettling nature of humanity, and just kind of throw it in their faces, like, you know, people walk around this planet thinking they're so perfect, and it's like, no, you're not. You're just as human as the rest of us. You sweat, shit, and bleed just like the rest of us, you know. There's no getting away from that, you know.
And so, how has the recording of the new album gone so far?
Pretty good, man. I'm like halfway through, I want to say. I'm still kind of deciding like what the order of the songs are going to be, and I'm also kind of deciding like depending on how quickly we write and record and get things ready to launch, we may or may not end up writing more songs than will end up being put on the album, which in my opinion is a good thing because I want to have some unreleased material on the back burner maybe to offer up to some fans in the future, you know, at some kind of like VIP status, like only certain people will hear these unreleased tracks, you know. You got to have a special password or whatever, you know, or something like
Totally.
that, you know, or pick up something at a show, and that's like your access pass to hear the unreleased stuff. Something like that. I wanna figure out. But yeah, I mean it's going along well. I think we got 10 tracks recorded and another 4 or 5 tracks actually written, ready to record. And you know, my plan is just to release a song every month up until June, and then release the entire album in June. But then continue about marketing the remaining half of the album from June through to December. So it'll be like one song per month, a 12-track album. And then by summer, I plan on having CDs ready for distribution. And then hopefully by 2022, I'd like to put the album on vinyl.
Nice.
Be like my first vinyl release.
Fuck yeah.
Dream
So
come
that, yeah,
true.
you just press that shit on the vinyl and he's like, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait, man. And it's not cheap, you know. It's pricey, but I'm thinking I could get some pre-orders in on that. Get a few like hardcore collectors interested in purchasing ahead of time to help me with the mother load. And then interesting thing about vinyl, which I'm gonna geek out on you for a second here, is it needs to be mastered completely different. So when you're mastering music for vinyl, there's something called a submix, where you take like all your vocals in a group, all your drums in a group, guitars, your keyboards, and then your bass. So you have this submix of groupings of the instruments, and that's what needs to be sent off to the vinyl press for them to remaster it and then press it on vinyl. Now, when you're dealing with a CD, you just send them the whole song, mi mixed, mastered, finalized, you know, 2-track stereo of just the final song. So it's a much more complex, detailed process with vinyl pressing that I'm still kind of learning about, like as to why, you know, why is it such a process? But there's something about it. It's you know, I think it's run through analog, you know, of some kind, you know, but I'm learning more about it, so I'm really interested to cross that bridge when I get to it and
Yeah,
see
definitely.
what goes into it, you know.
Yeah, because I knew that there was like the differences of what you need to be done to have it pressed on vinyl versus just regular CD. But I didn't know it was that hardcore of a, yo, we just need completely different of what you already have to
Yeah,
put it on.
definitely,
Very
man.
interesting.
Yeah,
Now,
I'm still waiting to learn how much it's going to cost me too. That'll be a fun one.
Now,
Yeah.
taking a departure from Hidden Scars, you're also the front man of Children of the Corn,
Yes,
right?
sir. Yes, sir.
Just one of the best touring Corn cover bands
Yeah.
that I had the pleasure of seeing over at Counts Vamped in 2019.
You did see it stamped. You didn't catch it in Southern California though, did you?
No, that was one we did not get to go to.
Okay. Yeah, that was wild. Oh man. Yeah, One of the pinnacle moments of my life is when I was up there in Bakersfield, California, singing. There was probably about 800 people in the audience singing corn songs to, all the Bakersfield hometown residents, And they loved it, man. I was a little worried at first. I was like, we're coming into this band's hometown and singing their songs in front of people who know them personally, who
Oh,
some of them
yeah.
grew up with them. You know what I mean? Same stomping grounds, and they fucking loved it, man. We pulled it off. We did it justice, so.
Oh, yeah. When I saw you guys, 100%, I was sitting there saying, man, they got this shit down. Like when you guys did Twisted Transistor,
Yeah, right on.
ooh, I was like sitting there, just like that cemented it in. That and Blind,
Nice. Yeah.
those two cemented in that it's like, yeah, you guys hold your fucking own.
My favorite songs were always the scats,
Oh yeah.
Twist or Freak on a Leash or Rotting in Vain, or just I just love doing the Jonathan Davis scat thing, man. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Fuck
It's like
yeah.
this beast, animal creature coming out in you,
Definitely. And I forgot, when was Children of the Corn established?
That's a good question. Sorry, my dog is like eating a can of beans right now. He's like chewing on the can. Okay. You do you, bro. Looks like it would hurt, but he's got strong teeth. What year was that? I want to say 2019. I think our first show was Counts of Amped in Las Vegas of maybe August of 2019, I believe. Yeah. What was that, man?
I think
Maybe
it
it was
might have actually
2018.
been, yeah, because Hidden Scars was 2018.
Yeah, and I do remember actually on a couple different occasions having to do Children of the Corn show and then a Hidden Scars show the very next night, or vice versa.
Yeah,
Do back to back.
that was first Hidden Scars show, was
And
right after Children of the Corn.
yeah, that's right. Yeah, because yeah, the first Children of the Corn show, it was like on a Thursday. I believe it was Thursday, August 17th of 2018. And
Yep,
then
that tracks.
yeah, and then it was cool. It was great because like there was a shitload of people there, and I was able to tell everyone like, hey, come check out my original band tomorrow night,
Yeah.
and tickets. It was great, man. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
And
great. Just a great way everything like flowed together, you know what I mean? Doing all that.
definitely. With Children of the Corn, what was the biggest tour you guys went on?
We just did like a, I want to say it was just a 3-date little outing of, yeah, Bakersfield, San Diego, and not Anaheim. What's that college town in Southern California? I think you stayed near there at some point. You lived there. Where are you
Oh,
guys?
Fullerton.
Yeah, Fullerton. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You said you went to the Slide Bar downtown
That was
Fullerton.
it. Yeah, that was
Yes.
it. That was an awesome time too. So yeah, we did the Slide Bar in Fullerton. We did the Brick by Brick in San Diego, and then we did a really nice venue in Bakersfield. I want to say it was called Studio something or other, Studio 43, something like that maybe. I
Nice.
could be way off, but yeah,
Yeah.
really top-notch venue.
Nice.
Yeah.
And with Children of the Corn, what would you say is your hands down, like the one song you look forward to every night when you're playing?
I always love doing Twist.
Nice.
Yeah, I always love doing that one. Man, there's just so many good ones though. Any song where I can like flop around on stage like a freaking fish out of water. You know what I mean? Just lose my shit and jump around on stage and like, man, Faggot was always a really, really fun song to play. Just
No, yeah.
heavy, And any song where there's a lot of crowd participation, like Blind was a good one because I get the crowd singing along with me. Here to Stay was always a good one because there was that break in the song where you get the whole crowd singing. You know what I mean? That was always a blast, you know. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, brother.
Nice.
Good time.
And do you guys have any plans once touring's available again to hit back out on the road with Short of the Corn?
Man, that's a really good question. Craig Nielsen, my brother Craig, he played for Flotsam and Jetsam. He was the longest running drummer in Flotsam and Jetsam for a long time. And
Yeah, I'm having him on this Wednesday.
oh, sweet. Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Right on, brother. Right on. Tell him I said what's up, man. I
Will
miss that
do.
guy. I miss playing on stage with him. But when it came to the tribute bands, and he has like five of them, and he was always in charge. He was always captain of the ship with all those bands, you know. So it's kind of like, if he gives me the call or says, hey, let's try to do this again, let's, I think we might be short a guitar player. So we'll have to find someone to fill those shoes. But no, I would love to do it again, man. And it's crazy because I came up to Montana, and I hadn't fully decided yet if I was going to live here, move here, or how long I was going to stay here, or exactly how in depth I was going to get into building this recording studio and, recording new Hidden Scars material. So, I still had all my stuff down in Vegas, and I went down to record a music video for the Masochism Tango, and then
Oh,
also,
yeah.
yeah, and then all that was, man, that was a whole nother story. That was a trip. But then also there was a Children of the Corn show booked. And the day before that show was scheduled, the day I got into town after like a 20-hour straight drive down, they passed that mask mandate. And the venues were like, what are we gonna do? We don't know what to do. We can't figure this out. We're gonna have to cancel the fucking show. Because there's this mask mandate, and we don't know how to handle it, and we don't know how to, what we're gonna do about the musicians on stage. There was no way I was gonna sing with a mask on. Not gonna happen. Never gonna happen. Unless it's like, I mean, it's probably will never happen. At least I'd have to have my mouth open, like if I was gonna
Yeah,
do any kind of
totally.
theatrical mask type situation. So just it wouldn't have worked out, and later on down the road, the venues decided, okay, like the musicians don't have to wear masks if they're on stage, but we need the glass wall between the stage and the audience. But that was later on down the road. At the time, they were like, fuck, we just got hit with this. Mayor Sisolak just passed this mandate, and they didn't know what to do, so they canceled the show on us. And that was a big bummer, man, because the show we had booked before that got canceled due to some kind of COVID-related situation too. So it's just like, one thing after another, man.
It's rough.
Yeah, but with Hidden Scars, everything's been going pretty smoothly. You know what I mean? Like the disbanding and the separation and the hiatus and then the everything like that. It all kind of happened right in line with the pandemic situations.
Yeah,
So
so it's kind of like the best time for a worse situation.
exactly. Yeah, it couldn't have happened at the better time, and like I said, it forced me to really dive into what I'm doing in the studio here, and releasing another song on Valentine's Day. I actually have it all set up on all the platforms ready to launch already, so I'm pretty excited about
Very
that.
nice. Would
Yeah.
you by chance be able to reveal the title of the song?
Sure, yeah, it's called Tethered Star.
Ooh,
Yeah.
sounds nice.
It's
It's a
kind of
good title.
about yeah, it's kind of about being the center of attention, the spotlight, the starring cast member of a show that you never really wanted to be a part of in the first place, It's kind of about exploiting someone's privacy and their shame and really putting it out there and, you know, trying to make a fool of someone in a sense, you know.
Yeah.
So it's about exploitation and about you know, betrayal of trust and things like that. So
Yeah.
it's a good one. It's perfect for Valentine's Day.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Because that's
Really,
been
just make your heart inflate and swell with love and joy.
exactly. And then explode in a bloody mess
Fuck
from
yeah.
overinflation. Too much love and joy now. Pop.
And there's never a bad time for metal. Fucking,
Right?
I was blaring Slipknot on Christmas Day. I don't give a fuck.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
So a fucking metal song dropping on Valentine's Day, perfect.
Yeah, and it's totally a love-hate ballad, you know. It's gonna go
Nice.
out to all my single brothers and sisters out there who are trying to keep their system clean and, you know, filter out all the toxicity, you know.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Something I've been wondering, because I remember I've talked to some guys before about this. In Vegas, what would you say is your favorite venue to be performing at?
Definitely hands down would be toe to toe for two completely different reasons would be Counts Vamped and House of Blues, and they're equal, you know, for so many reasons, man. Counts Vamped is just like, you know, I love the staff, I love the vibe, you know, the packing that place is an amazing feeling. It's just you know, I've had the most wild nights there, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like it's like that hometown vibe. It's like the cheers, you know, of rock and roll, you know.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, just love playing that venue, man. The lighting, the sound, just the layout, the way they have it all constructed and laid out is awesome, you know. You can pretty much see the band from any angle in the venue, even the bar on the other side of the glass. If you're sitting at the bar
Yeah.
and the place is just fucking crowded shoulder to shoulder, you can still see the band from anywhere in the room, you know. It's awesome. And then House of Blues, just for everything it has to offer, you know. It's history, it's VIP backstage rooms, you know, they're catering, the amount of people they can hold, you know, the fact that you're on stage where, you know, guys like Marilyn Manson and Billy Idol and Carlos Santana have all performed, you know, and just sharing that
Yeah.
stage and that energy with all these different, you know, cultural icons throughout music history who've been on that stage, you know, and just, yeah, just
Yeah,
packed
definitely.
house, man.
Yeah. And one thing that I meant to ask you when you were out here in Hollywood when you guys played, what did it feel like to be playing in the historical Whiskey a Go-Go? Just like the rite of passage that the Whiskey a Go-Go is for a band to perform there. What was like the energy and the vibe that you had there being in there?
Man, I'll tell you what, it's a hustle. It is a big hustle. It's like you're working really, really hard towards something, and then that sense of accomplishment when you pull it off, the end of the night, the show's over, and you did it, you know. And it's like a pinnacle moment in an artist's career, you know what I mean? Like not just because of the history behind the venue, but also just because of, you know, that city, Los Angeles and Hollywood in general, is you know, it's very cutthroat, it's very competitive, it's very busy and oversaturated, and you know, a lot of people look at you with a judgmental eye, and to be able to
Yeah.
enter that element and really pull it off was you know, very satisfying. And then, you know, not to mention the fact that we got the best slot of the night, you know, going right on before Flotsam and Jetsam, you know what I
Oh
mean?
yeah.
So
Totally.
that right there alone was just, it was huge for us, you know.
Fuck
So
yeah.
amazing time. Can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, dude, definitely. It's great. Like, I was just sitting there watching you guys, and I was like, fuck's sake, I wonder if they realize, like they're standing in an area where Motley Crue have come through here, Soulfly has come through here. They've all played on that stage. And it's just like, I don't know how I'd feel. Like, I feel like my balls would retreat into my stomach the instant I stepped on that stage.
Yeah, bro. Not to mention all the nasty shit that the guys like Motley Crue probably did in that venue and on those couches in that green room and stuff.
Oh, God, the Jackson Pollock painting that is the backstage.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it's not like that anymore. Like, you know, you can't get away with as much destruction and you know, just all out, just balls to the wall, partying and drugs and alcohol and naked women running around everywhere. You know, it's not like that anymore, man. The music industry is more like a business these days, you know, and you got to be business minded because that's what happened, man. The uprise of Western civilization, you know, it was a culture shock for everyone, and you know, everyone was loving it, and we took it a little too far, and the record labels lost a lot of money, and a lot of people, you know, lost their minds, and some people lost their lives, and I mean, it still happens to this day. There's plenty of drugs and alcohol and overdoses and things like that in the music industry, which is sad, you know, but it's just not as glorified and you know, glamorized as it used to be, you know.
Yeah. Also, something I was thinking about,
it's all that money.
Yeah. Something I was thinking about, talking about how like the music industry has felt more like a business. Everyone, a good majority of bands and band members these days feel more inclined. It's just like, we need to focus on this. This isn't just happy, happy, fun time. This is like our livelihood. For you as a vocalist, what do you do to take care of your voice? Because I know like, there's repercussions for not warming up or not screaming correctly and just going in and just fucking performing a show or just going into the studio to record.
Yeah, I like to do a little warm-ups just to stretch my vocal cords out. But for the most part, it's a matter of just kind of staying healthy, you know? It's very physically demanding work, especially being on stage. You know, I like to compare heavy metal music in particular to the genre of music that is most similar to being an athlete. Because you get winded up there, man. You sweat a lot. You're running back and forth. If you're doing it right, you're running back and forth. You're moving a lot. You get winded. You lose your breath. You get tunnel vision on stage. Oh, yeah. You know, I've passed out on stage a few times. You know, to the point of where, I mean, I don't know. It's almost like I might have some kind of like seizure trigger somewhere where I hit a certain note for a certain length of time and I will hit the floor and start twitching out, you know.
Damn.
And then I'll come back too and it'll feel like a fucking meth rush or something, you know. It's just insane.
Oh, yeah.
Release of endorphins and just this amazing feeling. But you know, fortunately it never got any worse than that. But yeah, man. Sorry, I kind of went off on a tangent and forgot what the question was.
So, just taking care of your voice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. As far as that, like, I don't really have a lot of, I mean, I still smoke cigarettes here and there, you know, I drink alcohol here and there. I just try not to overdo anything, you know what I mean? And I just figure it's just keep singing, you know what I mean? Even in this time that we're going through now with no live music, I've been in the studio singing a lot, you know, so I keep my vocals in shape because I continue to use them, you know.
That's totally
advice I can give anyone is if you want to, you know, keep your skill up to par, just continue doing it every day, you know. Yeah. Make it a part of your regimen, make it like a reflex, like, you know, like second nature, you know.
Yep. And no matter what, your voice is an instrument. You got to keep it finely tuned. You wouldn't just play your guitar without tuning it.
Right. Exactly.
Why wouldn't you take care of your voice if you're a vocalist? So, yeah, totally.
Absolutely. I got some pretty cool stuff here that I use from time to time if my vocals wear out. It's like this it's this throat spray with it's got different shit in it. Yerba Mansu, stone root, licorice root, ginger, echinacea. So it's pretty good stuff. Definitely
Nice.
helps. Just one shot of this, one spray will help. Like if you're starting to lose your high range, or if your throat is starting to get hoarse and you're losing like that, not just that high range, but that high timbre frequency kind of in your voice,
Yeah.
that'll help to kind of rejuvenate it, loop it up a little bit, and keep going. It's really handy in the recording studio. I don't use that kind of stuff much live because when you're live, it's like just one big push. It's like 1 hour.
Yeah.
Just fucking solid, like nonstop, go, go, go. But when you're in the recording studio, you're retracking things, redoing things over
Yeah,
and over again.
totally.
You're sitting there for at least 2, 3, maybe 4 hours sessions focused on just cutting vocals for this one song. And I never want to stop. Like if I start singing vocals for a song, I have to finish. And by
Yeah.
finish means I got to do all the doubling, all the harmonies, all the layering, the screaming, the growling tracks. I have probably 8 or 9 different vocal tracks going on any respective song,
Yeah.
and then I
Yeah,
got
for me.
to
Yeah. For me with my growls, I use just a shot of honey to the back of the throat.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that'll
Yeah.
do it. Yep.
Yep. You just let
Nice.
that fucking shit just coat your vocal cords, and you can
Yeah.
get some pretty sick gutturals coming from there.
Oh, cool. Okay. Right
Yeah.
on. Nice. Yeah, honey is good. I've used that on the road actually when I'm doing shows night after night after night,
Yeah.
It's definitely you can feel it. It's like this healing, when you feel little kind of swells or maybe even small, tiny little cuts kind of in your vocal
Yeah.
cords, Like they're getting sore and inflamed a little bit. And yeah, some honey, you can feel it just soothing and healing it,
It just puts a nice little coat over your vocal cords,
Yeah.
and yeah, it's a great like just like lifesaver right at the end there.
Definitely.
Yeah, speaking about tours, I remember when Hidden Scars did their first tour outside of Nevada. I
Yeah.
remember you guys did the free shows in SoCal, wasn't it? Or was it two in SoCal and one like more Northern California?
Yeah, we did 2 shows in LA, one in Anaheim, I believe. I
Yeah.
think that was it.
Yeah, and then you guys went to East Coast.
From there we just crossed the entire country.
Yeah.
40-hour drive, like the stupidest tour ever. Like, I highly advise against doing what we did. But we had other reasons for it too, Like there was one of the band members had family over on the East Coast, so it was a comfortable place to be. And I had family there as well. In fact, I got to see some family that I hadn't seen in a long time. And the East Coast really was inspiring to me, man. Just that the cluster of huge cities that have so much history and culture behind them, that have been standing for, since the beginning of the foundation of our country,
Yeah.
that whole area, Philly, New York, Baltimore, all those surrounding cities.
Yeah, fuck
Beautiful
yeah.
architecture, man. I'm kind of
I'd
thinking about
love to go see there.
I'm thinking that we will see, man. We'll see what happens. There's no telling at this point, but I'm thinking that might be my next place of residency somewhere in that area.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that car ride, because I remember it's just five crazy motherfuckers in a van.
Yeah.
How that must have been fucking insane. Just 40
Yeah.
hours, all five of you crazy motherfuckers just
Yeah, dude.
driving down the road.
It
You
was
guys
fun,
must have been
man.
tearing your heads off.
Nah, we all got along pretty well, actually, dude. It was cool. It was cool.
Nice.
I remember back in my days before Hidden Scars when I was touring with an old band of mine out of Chicago, and man, We were nuts, man. We were just all of us. It was only a 3-piece band, but we were always drunk. You know, we take whatever was handed to us, man. We drink beer all day while driving from state to state. You know what I mean? Just
Jesus.
pounding beers along the way. Show up to the venue, take whatever they give us, you know, wait for people to show up, find the cutest girls with the best blow. You know what I mean? Do that. Usually I'd only drink before I got on stage, but after I got off stage, it was no limits, man. It was anything and everything. And especially getting stuck in a nice city like Minneapolis or Kansas City or Dallas or anywhere like that. You know, when you get a couple days off and you get to hang out and scour the nightlife and really get to know the city, you know, those were amazing times, man. But you know, it may be a while before things get back to normal, before everyone is able to mingle again.
Yeah.
But
Yeah,
when they do,
fortunately, it's looking like it's not until fall until herd immunity comes around.
yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, we'll see, man. It's so hard to predict what's going to happen at this point, you know. But
So continuing on, where do you what's the future for Hidden Scars? Like, what do you have like more than just this album release planned out, or are you just keeping it like be keeping reserved, playing things close to the chest, seeing what's going on in the world?
I definitely plan on releasing this entire album, and also I plan on accompanying each song with its own visual aspect, like its own little video. You know, it's not really a music video, it's not really a lyric video. You know, I call it a lyrical visual kind of, you
Oh, yeah,
know.
like what you did with Degenerate.
Yeah, it's kind of like coming from a different angle. With video production, you know, it's more of like an abstract kind of just way to accompany the music and guide it along rather than a full-blown music video, which has its own life form, you know what I mean? Like its own
Yeah.
story and its whole own thing, you know, outside of the song. So, yeah, so each song is going to have its own visual accompaniment, and then, man, I want to do shows as soon as possible, no matter what it takes. Even if it means, you know, doing house parties and backyard
Yeah.
barbecues and, you know, fucking festivals, indie festivals out in the woods and the desert and the mountains and stuff, you know, with
Totally.
generators, tents and things like that. You know, like either way, we got to make it happen, you know.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's just that rush. It's better than any drug. It's being up on stage and performing. And of course, just the immediate feedback of just the crowd.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
either way, you know, live shows and, you know, hopefully some touring of to some degree is definitely in Hidden Scar's future. You know, it will happen.
Nice. Cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, as we are nearing the end of the podcast, I'm starting this new thing that I was thinking about. What's your top five favorite rock metal albums?
Albums. Woo, buddy. All right. Let's go back in time. Let's start with the Beatles White Album.
Nice.
Yeah, and then we'll fast forward a little bit. I'm gonna have a very eclectic mashup of albums here for you, I think. Let's fast forward a little bit, another say 20 years down the road, and look at Pink Floyd The Wall.
Fuck
Roughly 20
yes.
years down the road. And then from there, definitely the whole grunge era. I guess this might come as a surprise to somebody, to a lot of people, because I more emulate like Chris Cornell or Layne Staley. But that whole Seattle grunge era movement was a huge inspiration in my life. And the album that I actually happened to listen to the most from that time was Pearl Jam 10.
Yes.
You know, even though it may not really show in my music these days, but
that's the one with Black on it, right?
Oh, definitely. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. That was the album that really broke them through.
Fuck yeah.
Man, I gotta give heed to one of my number one influences, Trent Reznor, because you know, his project Nine Inch Nails is a huge inspiration to me and what I do as far as kind of having my hands in every aspect of the creative you know, the creative cycle, as well as the business aspect and the production and the marketing and everything else. Trent Reznor is the man. And I would say his album, The Downward Spiral, either that or The Fragile, those two albums, man. I can't give you a five, bro. I'm sorry. There's too many. I can give you seven because Marilyn Manson.
Shoot.
The Antichrist Superstar was a huge turning point in my life. That album is what got me into metal. But then you also have David Lynch's Lost Highway motion picture soundtrack, as well as the Mortal Kombat motion picture soundtrack, which were also big parts of my childhood, my early years, getting me into music altogether. And then, to top it all off, my most latest favorite album would have to be an album by the band Ghost. And it is, I would say, their latest album, Prequel, really did it for me.
Yes,
most recently, especially because a lot of those songs were like soundtracks to the life I was living at the time, which was a very like overly romanticized, like in the moment, but also like behind the scenes, very dark, very demented, twisted, you know.
Yeah.
So like this whole like that whole like vampire romanticism they have going on in that album is very reminiscent of the life I was living at that time. You know?
Yeah, definitely. It's like Dance Macabre. It's so just like poppy, and it's like you're like getting down with it.
Yeah.
Kind of fucked. You're just sitting there, and it's just like, this is a lot darker than the music lets you on to know.
Oh yeah, totally, dude. Totally. Yeah.
Ghost is great.
Yeah, I love that band, man. They really inspire me, you know. Tobias Forge, a huge influence. So yeah, dude, I mean, I don't know, I probably just listed like 9 albums, I think, but yeah. that pretty much is encompasses it all. And then like, you know, I didn't even mention I could probably list another 10 more albums that go right there toe to toe with you, including, you know, Cradle of Filth, Midian, you know, Korn's for Follow the Leader. There's so damn many, dude. Cold Chamber's first release.
Name an album that you would say closely resembles this new Hidden Scars album you're working on.
Oh man, that's impossible because this Hidden Scars record, I'm taking influences from everything, from Angelo Badalamenti, who is David Lynch's right-hand man when it comes to scoring the movies. He does all the instrumental orchestration.
Nice.
All the way to ICP, you know. Definitely got some Insane Clown Posse influence showing through this next album. Basically everything I ever listened to throughout my life and all my life experiences, I'm trying to kind of tell the story of and capture in one package, you know, one cohesive package. Of course, you have the obvious, you know, most inspirational, you know, like, you know, Korn, Marilyn Manson, Nine Inch Nails, Ghost, you know, what else, man? Yeah, it's all over the board. So I don't think, you know, it may be risky on my part because I'm deciding to release an album that doesn't really fit into a category. You know, it'll fit into
some
categories, I think. But, you know, I'm doing what's true to me, you know.
That's what's up.
So that's what's going to really through the music, you know. I'm not worried about like, oh, maybe I shouldn't release this goth rap song because my fans won't get it and it'll flop. And like, nah, I'm not even worried about that at this point. You know, I'm just going to put it out there because it's me and it's honest, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of this episode of Rock Talk. If you want to find Joel on social media, you can find him on Twitter at hiddenscars.net. Or is it just hiddenscars.net?
Yeah, hiddenscars.net. Or I would just go to hiddenscars.com. Or like, I mean, everyone loves YouTube. YouTube.com/hiddenscars. You know, I would, out of all the platforms, I'd lean more towards YouTube because that's where you can go and really get entertained and you don't have to deal with a bunch of like, fucking ignorant posts like you do on Twitter and Facebook. God.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You have a merch website though, right?
Yeah. Hiddenscars.com/shop.
Nice.
Hoodies and stuff.
Well, all of that's going to be down in the description. I'll link everything that he just said. And Joel, thank you very much for coming on for the podcast.
My pleasure, brother. Bye, Jameson. Say bye.
I'm very happy that you've been staying happy and healthy and safe. And let's just hope this all ends soon so we can all get back and fucking mosh.
Hey, it was a pleasure seeing you, old friend. Thank you so much for having me and considering me. And yeah, man, it was really good catching up with you, brother. Let's keep in touch.
Thanks, man. Definitely.
Right on. Peace out.
Peace out.